Hello and welcome to the Jesus Witch Podcast. I'm your host, Lena Elsaya Lee, also known as Lena the Jesus Witch on TikTok and Instagram. The Jesus Witch Podcast is a show dedicated to opening the conversation about including Jesus in witchery practices. The goal of this podcast is to not be evangelical. The goal is to spread the love, light, truth, acceptance, and oneness that is Jesus Christ himself. Here at the Jesus Witch Podcast, we believe all people are loved by God and all people are loved by Jesus. We believe in community and the power of fellowship. We believe in giving whatever you reasonably can to help your neighbor who's in need. And above all, we believe in the power of creating a relationship with Jesus that is authentic and unique to you. Join me for new episodes of the Jesus Witch Podcast every single Monday, and be sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Jesus Witch Podcast. I'm your host, Lena Elsaya Lee, also known as Lena the Jesus Witch on TikTok and on Instagram. Today, I am so excited to be recording a long-awaited episode for me, which is my daughter's birth story. If you didn't know, I finally had my baby girl on February 26th. She was born at 3:03 in the morning. She is a Pisces sun, a Virgo moon, and a Capricorn rising. Definitely a mighty big three there. And her name is Lalina Rose, which is also my name, and that's also my grandmother's name. When I found out I was pregnant with a baby girl, when I found out she was a girl, I knew that I just had to pass my first name on. Me and my grandmother are the only two people that I know who have ever had this name. So I wanted to give it to my baby girl as well. And my husband was like really excited for the idea of naming his daughter after me, which was really cute. And for me, it's more like naming it after my grandmother. But for him, I definitely feel like it's more of him wanting to name the baby after me. However, I find it really weird to, like, call my baby my name. It feels weird to call her Lena. It feels weird to call her Lalina. So I've been calling her Luna, which, like, I don't know how long that's going to stick as her nickname. But it's definitely a little witchy nickname that I've been calling her. I've been calling her since I was pregnant. So my baby girl is named Luna. And today I want to tell you her birth story and how, like, everything was manifested. Her birth was probably the craziest experience I had ever experienced in my entire life, and mostly because everything that I said throughout my pregnancy was gonna happen through my labor literally, like, happened. And I can't wait to jump in with that with you guys. But first, before we jump into the actual birth story, I just want to tell you about a couple of key things that happened towards the end of my pregnancy after I made the final Pisces pregnancy update for you guys. So on February 9th, which also happened to be the new moon in Aquarius and the day that I turned 37 weeks, I legitimately thought that my water tore. I felt so much, like, fluid, you know, like, down there, and I really thought that my water had broke. It was literally the same thing that happened with Scott when I was pregnant with him, that, you know, at exactly 37 weeks, or I think with him the day before I turned 37 weeks, I started to really feel like my water tore. And my midwife at the time tested to see if there was amniotic fluid, and she couldn't determine if there was or if there wasn't. And since I had a high tear in my waters with Dexter, she just assumed that I had tore with Scott. So we kind of did, like, an at-home induction, like, making, you know, doing the midwife's brew, doing pumping, doing everything that I could to get myself into labor with Scott. So I basically, like, induced myself at home with Scott. So with this baby, I thought that this was the same exact thing happening, and I was so scared because I didn't want to have to go through the whole process that I did with Scott with her. I feel like needing to almost, like, quote unquote, induce myself at home made me feel like in my labor that, like, I was a little bit more under pressure to, like, get him out, and I was stressed out, like, it wasn't gonna happen. And I was really nervous about how his birth was going while I was in labor. Like, I literally remember myself, like, pleading with, like, God and Jesus, being like, I know I don't deserve this, but please, please let me have this baby at home. Like, please let me just do this the way that I want to do it. And that wasn't a good feeling. Like, looking back on that, that wasn't, like, the best feeling in the world to feel like I had to, like, be pleading with God and that, like, I didn't deserve to give birth to my baby the way that I wanted to give birth to him. So with this baby, I thought the same exact thing was happening. And my midwife was a little bit more thorough with the testing. And, you know, she came to the conclusion that my water did not tear and that this was probably what happened with Scott. So I felt like I got a lot more closure that day over Scott's birth. And I stopped, like, blaming myself and, like feeling like I put a lot of pressure on myself to get him out on the day that I did, because I was just working with all of the information that I had at the time, and now I have more information. So if I ever get pregnant again, God, I don't know. Oh God, that would be a lot. I don't think I want a fourth child, but if I ever do, I kind of know for the next time what this is, and I don't have to be as nervous about it. And I just thought that this was interesting that this whole situation happened on the Aquarius new moon. Like, I really thought that was interesting. So on Valentine's Day, I had a full day and night of contractions. Like, I was really feeling like she was coming. And I thought it was perfect because the sun was in Aquarius and the moon was in Taurus. And I have a lot of Taurus and Aquarius in my chart. So I was like, yes, like, let's be born today. She was not born that day. But I remember that day being the first day that I was like, you know what, maybe my body will go into labor. Maybe this will happen. Maybe I will get contractions again. Like, maybe this will actually happen. So it was like the first day that I felt like confident that I actually could have my baby. So I thought that was interesting. And I thought it was interesting that it happened while the moon was in Taurus and the sun was in Aquarius, considering how, like, heavy my chart is with both of those signs. If you didn't know, I am a Taurus sun, moon, and Venus, and descendant. My sun, moon, and Venus are all conjunct each other. And then I am an Aquarius nadir, and my Uranus is directly conjunct my nadir in Aquarius. So I feel like I'm a more heavy Aquarius and Taurus person. I feel like out of all the signs that are in my chart, those are the two that I resonate the most with. So I just thought it was interesting that everything kind of clicked for me on that day. So I don't know what day this happened, but I had a dream at some point towards the end of my pregnancy that I was in labor with Luna, and my labor had stalled, and the doctor decided to inject me with jasmine oil, which is not something that happens. And I wasn't using a doctor for care. I was using a midwife. So that was interesting how my brain set this dream up. But after that, I put jasmine oil in, like, my labor kit and in my, like, preparation stuff. So, like, after 38 weeks, every night I was taking clary sage and jasmine essential oil and rubbing it over my ankles to try to, like, encourage contractions, you know, like, see if it would help. And then when I was actually in labor, I used some jasmine oil and I rubbed it over my uterus to kind of help the contractions be stronger and, like, you know, be effective. And I just thought it was really interesting how the baby kind of told me that she wanted me to work with Jasmine while I was in labor with her. So I thought that was really cool and I wanted to share it. So the last thing that happened while I was pregnant that's worth noting is on the 23rd of February, I had a dream that I gave birth to Luna, and I was laying in bed and somebody handed her to me, and she had this, like, dark, dark brown hair, like my color hair. And she had these big eyes and they were crystal clear blue, like my husband Jack's eyes. And it was such a good dream and it made me really excited to have my baby. And I feel like it also made me a little frustrated because that dream felt so real and she still wasn't in my arms. I was still pregnant, but I kind of felt like that was a little omen that she was going to be here soon. And after I had her, after I gave birth to her, Jack had a dream that she had blue eyes too. So maybe she'll end up with blue eyes. I really hope she does. I feel like that's the one thing my husband really wants one of our kids to have from him is his eyes, his blue eyes. So I really hope that when her eyes change, they are my husband's color of eyes. Right now she just has, like, these, like, perfectly gray eyes. Like, they are, like, really, really gray. Like, my boys, I feel like they had, like, a different tint to them. Like, Dexter's really looked black and Scott's, like, were, like, very interesting and they, like, changed colors all the time. But her eyes stay very gray and they're very, like, clear gray. And I hope that that'll turn blue. So on the 24th of February, I woke up and I was in the worst mood in the entire world. Like, I cried all day long. I was so angry. I was so frustrated that I was still pregnant. I was just sobbing, hysterical. Like, I was so uncomfortable. And so to try to, like, calm myself down and, like, start feeling better, like, I was really at my wit's end at that point with being pregnant. So to try to, like, calm myself down and feel better, I did a spell with the Divine Feminine. And I made a little spell jar. And in this jar, I put ingredients that I felt like would help me go into labor or help me when I was in labor. One of them being coffee for a quick and effective labor. And I think I put a little too much coffee in there. but I started really focusing on working with the Divine Feminine and trying to, like, tap into her rather than, like, consuming, letting myself be consumed with the rage that I was feeling. Because I was just really, really, really uncomfortable and I was being a real bitch that day and I just really was so over it. I feel like this mood shift, because I was in a bad mood, but I wasn't in this bad of a mood before I, like, really went into labor with Luna. So I feel like this was the first, like, sign that labor was near. And I feel like part of me almost knew that, where I remember Googling, like, you know, do you get more angry before you go into labor, like, kind of thing. So I feel like I knew that it was, like, just, like, a big shift in my hormones getting ready. But I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable. So then on the 25th, I woke up and I was having some very mild but super consistent contractions all day long, and I was so upset about it. And I was, like, texting my husband all day, like, this really sucks. I keep having contractions, but I know they don't mean anything. Like, this is horrible. Like, I hate that I'm having, like, this prodromal labor, because I had been having prodromal labor. Like, I had been going into labor. It was starting and then stopping and then starting and then stopping. And this day in particular, it was really annoying me. Because every time this would happen, it kind of felt like a tease, you know? Like, it was like, oh, am I meeting my baby today? Is this really happening? Like, is this finally going to be over? And then the contractions would fizzle out and I would just be, like, getting your hopes up for nothing. So I was just really annoyed and trying to manage my expectations, because realistically, I could have still been pregnant with her for a lot longer at that point, and I didn't want to, like, really hope that it was the day, especially because my whole pregnancy, I had been saying that I was gonna have her, or I wanted to have her around the full moon in Virgo, and the full moon in Virgo was on the 24th, I believe, so the 25th still had, like, that full moon energy, and I was really hoping I would go into labor that weekend, and I just didn't want to get my hopes up that it was actually happening if it wasn't, because then I feel like I would have been more upset. So I just remember being super annoyed and super in denial that these contractions were doing anything. My husband Jack was working that day, and when he came home, that's when the contractions started to be really, really, really consistent and get to the point where I had to, like, work through them. Like, I remember we were playing Uno with the boys, and at some point I was like, all right, shh, like, I need to, like, be quiet and go inwards for a moment. Or, you know, we were watching the new Avatar, the live action one, and I was, like, constantly having to, like, close my eyes and, like, you know, kind of just focus through these contractions. I still wasn't moaning. I still wasn't, like, really acting like I was in labor, but Jack seriously thought that I was in early labor. So he's like, text the midwife, like, she needs to know that this is happening. So I texted her, and, you know, I'm like, I don't really think anything's happening, but my husband told me to text you because I'm acting weird. And Jack started panic cleaning. Like, he cleaned the entire house from top to bottom in, like, 2 hours, because this man was like, this is happening tonight and I need to make sure that the house is clean before it happens. So he really, like, he knew I was in labor. I was in denial. Like, denial is a river in Egypt, and I was there. Like, I really was like, these are not real contractions. This is not happening. Like, they're not painful enough. Like, I really just did not think I was in labor, but he knew I was in labor. Even though I was very much in denial that I was laboring, I was doing all the things to make these contractions more effective, which is so silly, because if you really didn't think you were in labor, Lena, why were you trying to make your contractions more effective? But anyway, so I was putting clary sage on my ankles and jasmine on my ankles, and both of those oils on my uterus as well. And I was bouncing and doing hip circles on the yoga ball, and I was drinking hibiscus tea. I drank a lot of hibiscus tea at that point because I was just like, listen, like, these are supposed to make you contract, so I'm just gonna fucking do it. And my midwife said it was fine, that I could drink hibiscus tea after 38 weeks. And I had only started drinking it when I started to get contractions, kind of thing. So at some point, I called my midwife and I spoke to her on the phone, and she was not convinced that I was in labor because I was not in a lot of pain and I was still very coherent. And I was not convinced that I was in labor because I just was in super denial. So she told me to go and take a shower and go to bed. And, you know, if I'm in labor, the contractions will wake me up, kind of thing. So that's exactly what I did. I took a shower, and then before I went to bed, I went outside and I stood under the illuminated moon that looked almost full, and I just started talking to God for a little while. Like, I had not really spoken to the Abrahamic God during my pregnancy. I feel like he took a big step back from my practice while I was pregnant with Luna. But during this time, during this like really hopeless moment where I felt like I just needed to surrender, I felt that I wanted to communicate that with him. So I started praying and I'm like, listen, God, like, I really just want this to be it because I can't keep going through this. Like, I feel like I'm at the end of my rope and I just can't do this anymore. So please, please let this be labor. So, you know, I spent some time with the moon and I spent some time with God, and then I decided to go to bed. So I went to bed, and at 1:50 in the morning, I woke up with a contraction. I know that I was contracting before that because I was like sleeping, but conscious enough that I know I was like moaning in my sleep, like working through contractions as I was sleeping. But at 1:50, I woke up and I had, you know, a contraction that I had to work through, and that woke me up. It was like powerful enough. And I was like, yeah, that's weird. You know, that they don't normally do that. So I laid in bed for a little longer, and then I had 4 contractions in the span of like 20 minutes or so. And my husband's like, you're moaning a lot. You need to call the midwife. So I called the midwife and we're talking, and I'm like, I really don't think I'm close. Like, I'm still laying in bed. I'm still pretty comfortable. Like, these contractions, they're uncomfortable, but they're not painful. Like, they just don't feel like I'm anywhere close. And she's like, yeah, I don't think you're anywhere close either. And I'm like telling her, I'm like, my husband just told me to call you. So, you know, that's kind of why I'm calling you. So I don't really know what to do. And she's like, try to go back to bed. See, you know, see if you could just go to sleep. And as soon as I hung up the phone with her, I had a contraction that I couldn't be laying down for anymore. Like, I was not comfortable. So I got on my hands and knees and I start moaning through this contraction, and they're getting really close together. And I'm like saying to my husband, I'm like, this sucks because this probably isn't even labor. Like, I'm probably not in labor right now, and I'm just having these really painful contractions, and this could go on for weeks, and I'm just so done with this. And my husband's like, Lena, I think you're in labor. At one point he says to me, like, it's like you've been running a race for 9 months and you got to the finish line, and instead of crossing it, you're just staring at it. And I thought that was a really good analogy. Kind of sucked in the moment, but it was a really good analogy. But anyway, he's laying next to me and he's like, no, you're in labor. I'm going to go start setting up the pool. And I'm like, yeah, all right, you know what? That's fine, because I'm not in labor, but at least, like, you know, maybe getting in the birth pool will make the contraction stop, because I'll be in the warm water and I'll be relaxed, and, you know, maybe it'll just make this whole thing go away, kind of thing. So that was my thought pattern. He's like getting ready to have a baby, and I'm like, this sucks. I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm not even in labor. Why do I keep having contractions? Like, what the hell? You know, why? That's something that mind boggles me, like how good I am at compartmentalizing pain to the point where I'm like talking myself out of having contractions. Like, that's insane. And one thing I thought that was really interesting was when I called my midwife, it was 2:20 in the morning, and that phone call lasted exactly 2 minutes and 22 seconds and ended at 2:22 in the morning. So I was like, that's some angel numbers right there. That's some interesting way to see some angel numbers. So that was part, I think that was one thing that kind of like made me feel like, oh, maybe I was in labor, kind of thing. But I still was so in denial that these were even real contractions. So we got out of bed and Jack was setting up the birth pool. And while he did that, I lit my divine feminine deity candle and the candle that I have dedicated to my grandmother, because, you know, I named my baby after my grandmother. So I figured, like, her candle would like to be present for the birth as well. And I was just really not convinced that I was anywhere close to having this baby. So I'm having contractions. Jack's frantically trying to set up this birth pool. At this point, as my husband's doing everything in his power to get this birth pool set up, I think it kind of clicked for me that I was probably in labor, but I definitely didn't think I was as close as I was.
Now a quick break from this week's episode of the Jesus Witch Podcast to talk about a few ways you can help support the show. One way you can help support the creation of the Jesus Witch Podcast is to become a supporter of us on Patreon. On our Patreon, there are four different tiers that you could choose from, and they're all named after tarot cards. We have the Fool, the Magician, the Hierophant, and the High Priestess. In the Fool tier, you get early ad-free episodes of the Jesus Witch Podcast, extended show note pages when available, Christian tarot grimoire pages, and access to our monthly community oracle reading. In the Hierophant tier, you get everything from the Fool tier, tarot spreads to help your connection with Christ, spirit, your higher self. I also like to put out new tarot spreads for each full moon or new moon, Wheel of the Year holiday, and zodiac sign. In the Magician tier, you also get one Bible-based spell grimoire page each month. This teaches you how to incorporate the Bible into your own spell practice. In the Hierophant tier, you get everything from the Fool and the Magician tiers, as well as a Happy Mail package from me every single month with the ingredients to make a spell, as well as an extra Bible-based spell page for your grimoire. And then you get access to our spellcasting Zoom each month where we do the spell that I sent you together. In the High Priestess tier, you get everything from the Magician, Fool, and Hierophant tiers, as well as an extra Bible-based spell from the Sun and Moon Oily Co. in your Happy Mail package each month, and a one-on-one Zoom call with me every single month to discuss your practice, how you're growing, and any suggestions that I could give to you to help you on your path. Patreon tiers start at $6.66 per month, and you can find the link to that in the show notes page. Another way you could help support the show is by shopping at my Etsy shop, the Sun and Moon Oily Co. Over on the Sun and Moon Oily Co., I offer Bible-based spell oils, ritual bath salts, Jesus Witch or Christian Witch specific mystery boxes, and custom spell oils. Over on my Etsy shop is where you can also book different types of readings with me. I offer tarot readings for your inner child, channel messages from Jesus or from Lilith. I also have a listing for general tarot readings. You could grab a soul contract reading between yourself and another person, or yourself and a deity that you're working with or curious to work with, or even grab an astrology reading for yourself or an astrology reading for your kiddos to help you parent them better and more effectively. There's also Jesus Witch merch on my Etsy shop and so many other things that I am planning on adding to my shop. So head over to the Sun and Moon Oily Co. to check that out. Another thing you can do to support the growth of the Jesus Witch Podcast is join our Discord community. The Jesus Witch Church is our free 18+ Discord community where we host Jesus Witch church services and moon circles. This is your place to ask all Jesus Witch or witchy questions in general and make some really awesome friends. You can find the link to our church in the show notes page. Another free way you could support the Jesus Witch podcast is by sharing this show with a friend and rating it on whatever podcasting app you're using with 5 stars. Leaving us a nice review really helps get the word out about the show, and don't forget to subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. Another thing you could do to help the creation of the show is send a donation to the Jesus Witch Podcast via Cash App or PayPal. It takes a lot of time and effort for me to create the Jesus Witch Podcast, and getting donations helps me get the support and help that I need to be able to create this type of content for you. Donations also help keep this podcast free to everybody, so if you love this show and the information that's being put out there, please consider sending a donation to my PayPal or my Cash App. The username on both is the Jesus Witch Podcast, but the link for both of those can be found in the show notes page. And the final way that you could help support the creation of the Jesus Witch Podcast is by sending me a gift. In the show notes page, I have the link to my Amazon wish list. Everything that I put on this wish list was put there to help create content for you. Simply put, buying things off of this Amazon wishlist helps me so that I don't have to purchase them myself, so I can put more of my resources in towards making the Jesus Witch Podcast. If you would like to support the Jesus Witch Podcast by buying me a gift or in any other way, you could find all the links to everything mentioned in this ad in the show notes page. Now let's get back to the show.
So my plan for when I went into labor was to rent the Eras Tour movie and watch that while I labored, because I am a person that really likes to listen to music or watch something while I'm in labor. Like with my boys, I remember with Dexter, I listened to a Fall Out Boy playlist, and then I watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine. With Scott, I listened to a 21 Pilots playlist, and then I watched Glee while I was laboring with him. So with her, I was like, I'm just going to kill two birds with one stone and watch the Eras Tour movie so that I can listen and watch something and like have a memory of like a really good experience, because going to see the Eras Tour with my husband was literally one of my favorite memories I've ever had in my entire life. It made me feel like somebody, like it made me feel like I was in a TikTok video that I watched, or like in a movie that I watched, because I had just such a magical experience. I got to dance with the girls that were sitting with me. We were also excited over like surprise songs together. I got along really well with our security guard, and I was trading bracelets with her. It was like such a magical experience, and I really put myself out there that day. Like I traded a lot of friendship bracelets, and normally I don't do things like that. Like I don't initiate conversations with like random people, but I did that day, and I really put my like extroverted foot forward, and I had the best experience doing it. So I figured while I'm in labor, if I watch the Eras Tour, like that'll be good, like oxytocin, it'll give me good happy hormones, and it'll help my labor be more effective, right? So I put the Eras Tour movie on, and as soon as I did that, I got a contraction. I'm like, oh, this is a serious one. So I'm like, Jack, we need to go to the shower now. And I go to the bathroom. I didn't even bring the laptop with me, but he brought the laptop with us so that we could watch the Eras Tour while I was in the shower. Like, I love my husband. He's such a Swiftie too. That's fucking great. And we're in the bathroom, and I go to like pee, and I wiped, and there was blood there, and I'm like, oh, something's really happening. So I get in the shower, and this might be TMI, so if you're like somebody who's like a little bit you know, maybe you skip forward 15-20 seconds, but anyway, I'm in the shower, and I'm like, I just need to check myself. I need to see where I'm at, because this is like, this is really close. And by this point, like when I wiped and I saw the blood, my husband called the midwife back, and he's like, the baby's coming now. You need to get here. So she's like, all right, I'm coming. I'm on my way. So I get in the shower, and I needed to check myself. Like I needed to know how close I was. So I, you know, put my fingers in my vagina. Like I, you know, you, it's not that hard to feel for cervical dilation, especially if you're in labor or if you've had more than one children. Like you kind of know what you're feeling for up there. But anyway, I didn't feel my cervix. I just felt the baby's head and the sack of waters and everything. Like, I felt it all there, right there. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, Jack, she's coming now. And I'm like screaming, Jack. And at one point, my husband like moves the shower head to try to get a better like grip on so that he can catch her. And I'm like, no, but I need the water. Put that back. I start yelling at him. So he's like, this poor man is frantically putting the shower head back, like trying to dodge the water, like making sure he's not too slippery so he can catch the baby. And before you know it, there was a baby in his hands. And I looked at the computer when everything was said and done, to see like where in the Eras Tour like everything stopped. She literally was born not even at the finish of Cruel Summer. Like it took less than 7 minutes from the time that I put this movie on until she was born, you know, or until she was born, like kind of thing. Like it was a 3-hour long movie. Like I really was expecting to be in labor for a lot longer. I didn't expect to birth her into Cruel Summer. But anyway, at that point, my husband calls the midwife and he's like, oh, you know, the baby's here. And it was 3:03 in the morning, which is like such a cool birth time if you think about it. And she was born on a Monday, which is the moon's day. And I thought that was cute because I wanted to call her Luna. So yeah, that was her birth story. It was absolutely insane. And right after she was born, my eldest, I guess he woke up at some point while I was in labor. So he heard her be born and like heard her first cries. And I had prepared my kids. Like I told them, like, you know, if mommy's birthing the baby, you're going to hear some funny noises coming out of mommy's mouth. But you know, like, don't come out, don't come bother me, because if you bother me while I'm in these contractions, it could make the labor stall, it can make it harder for me to get the baby out, so just stay in your room until you hear a baby crying. Like, you know, these noises are normal, like, I kind of prepared them for that. And Dexter, he's a pro. Like, he, one of his, like, earliest memories is Scott's birthday and him hearing me moan and, you know, scream him out kind of thing. So he knew what was going on, but he woke up, and after she started crying, he came and he saw her, and you know, he got to, like, see her right when she was born and see, like, the baby, and, you know, he did see all, like, the blood and stuff, so he was like, well, that's, like, a lot. But I don't know, I think, oh, that was a little baby noise. But I think it was, like, good for him in the sense that he kind of understood what it took for me to get the baby out. Like, we're not shy with our boys at all when it comes to, like, childbirth, things like that, because if they're going to be parents someday, and if they're going to be good partners to, you know, the people birthing their children, then they need to know the reality of it. And Dexter's 8. He's not super young, and he does remember, you know, Scott being born. He remembers my placenta. He remembers all of that stuff. So I'm not one of those, like, parents that's shy when it comes to birth with my kids. Like, they kind of know what's going on. But anyway, eventually we went out of the shower, we went out of the bathroom, and we went to go sit on the couch, and Dexter hung out with Jack and I and the baby until the midwife got there. When she got to our house, she obviously had to, like, check me to make sure that I didn't tear anything. And unfortunately, because I didn't know that I was in labor and I wasn't able to, like, position myself super properly while I was in labor or utilize, like, the birth pool, and the fact that Luna decided to come out sunny side up, which means, like, her back was against my back. She was face presenting when she was born. I tore really badly. I had a really bad second degree tear that was, like, close to being a third degree tear. And if it was a third degree tear, that would have been an automatic hospital transfer. Most women decide to transfer to the hospital when it is a second degree tear because they're so extensive and the stitching that's required for them is a lot. She's dreaming. Are you dreaming? Oh my gosh. But my midwife did some sort of, like, numbing, like lidocaine, and that didn't really do anything, because I felt every single stitch that she did. That was that was way more painful for me than the labor experience itself. And it was really, really, really difficult. Like, I couldn't sit up or, you know, be on my bottom for, like, 2 weeks after that happened. I'm, like, 3.5 weeks postpartum now. So now I'm, like, starting to be able to sit up and walk around and, like, do that kind of stuff more. But for the first 2 weeks, I was basically, like, bedridden the entire time, because it was so bad of a tear. And because my baby came so fast, my midwife didn't have time to get an assistant midwife to come and, you know, be there with her. So my husband had to play the role of the assistant midwife and help her stitch me up. So he was holding the light the entire time, like, making sure that she could see. So my husband got a bird's eye view of how bad that tear was, which honestly, like, Jack and I both have this, like, very, we have a good understanding. Like, we didn't say anything to each other, but both of us knew that if I didn't get stitched up at home, we would have had to go to the hospital with 3 kids. You know, a newborn who would be crying in the car the entire time, and our 2 older ones who would be really scared and confused. And it would just turn a really good experience into a really difficult memory and difficult situation for the entire family. So as hard as it was for him to sit there and watch that happen, and he said that the worst part was, like, knowing that I was in a lot of pain, because I was, like, I was very much in pain. And I was expressing it. And she was like, do you want to go to the hospital? We could go get painkillers. I'm like, no. Like, I'm just going to complain. I'm going to curse. I'm going to be a fucking sailor right now. But just do what you have to do. I'm good. I was not good, but I was tolerating it. You know what I'm saying? So the both of us, like, kind of had this understanding that if I did not do that, we would have to go to the hospital. We did not want to do that. So he made sure that she could see. I stayed as fucking still as I could, which was really hard. And Jack told me afterwards that there were some times that I would, like, flinch as she was doing it, and she wouldn't be able to get, like, a good like grip on the stitch, so she had to like pull it out and then pull it back in several times, and I was just sitting there cursing like crazy, and then at some point Jack's like, Lena, put music on, that'll help you cope with it better. And he was right. So I put on Taylor Swift, which is like, I love Taylor Swift. I don't, obviously the only music I listen to is not just Taylor Swift. Like I listen to a lot of Boy Genius and other things like that. But I wanted to do Taylor Swift because her music's really easy to listen to. It's really easy to sing along to. So I was listening to Cruel Summer and like Style as she was doing it. I'm like crying and you got the James Dean Day as she's stitching me. Which is one of the most hilarious memories that I have. It was horrible, but hilarious, you know? And I think that the stitches, I'm not going to say that they were like traumatizing with a capital T kind of thing, but they were a little bit like, I was terrified for the first week or so that I was going to pop a stitch and have to get restitched. And I was literally like giving myself a panic attack over the idea of having to get restitched. Like that's how fucking scary that was to me. But other than that, her birth went the exact way that I manifested it. Like, all I really had manifested was, like, a quick and easy-ish labor and for her to be born at home. I think I manifested a little bit too quick of a labor. I think if I ever have another one, I will definitely ask for a little bit longer of a labor. Like, you know, an hour and 13 minutes of, like, active labor is really, really short. Like, I'd prefer to have a good, like, 2-3 hours to be able to, like, mentally wrap around what's going on and, like, you know, for my body to adjust and all of that stuff. Like, I would manifest for a little bit longer of a labor, but I am happy that it was a fast labor. And if I ever have another baby, I would definitely manifest to not tear as bad. Like, that would be a priority of mine. But anyway, it went exactly how I manifested. But the creepier thing to me, I guess not creepy, the crazier or like more like the thing that's made me feel like I'm really, really, really in touch with my, not only my body and my mind, but my spirit as well, is how accurately I was able to predict what was going to happen with this labor and this birth. I told my midwife several times, and I'm pretty sure I even said it on this podcast too, but I told my midwife several times that I had a feeling she was not going to be there for my labor and for my birth. I had such a feeling that that was going to happen. I had such a feeling that it was going to be a free birth. Like, I just could not envision her in the space, which made me really scared, because this experience has affirmed for me that I would never intentionally do a free birth because of how bad I tore. And then, like, if I did do a free birth, I would have had to automatically hospital transfer, and it just have been a whole hullabaloo. But anyway, like, I couldn't envision her in my birth space. So I was really, and that was kind of weird to me because I knew she was my midwife and I knew she was going to be my midwife, but like I couldn't envision her there. So I had a feeling she wasn't going to make it. Then I told my physical therapist, my pelvic floor PT, while we were working on the positioning of Luna and like trying to position her well, my entire pregnancy, she was back to back with me. And I had such a feeling that's how she was going to come out. And I told my physical therapist this several times as we're trying to move her. And I'm like, you know, I really have a feeling she's going to come out sunny side up. And I'm like, as long as she's, you know, rotated properly, I really don't care, even though back labor is a little bit more painful. Apparently, it wasn't that much more painful for me because Delulu lady over here didn't think she was in labor until I was pushing the fucking baby out. But anyway, so that I predicted. I also had told, like, I told people that I thought she was going to be born between 2 and 3 in the morning, because at 2 and 3 in the morning when I was pregnant with her, I woke up, like, and I could not go back to sleep until, like, 4 or 5 in the morning. Like, it just was this routine every single night where I'd get up at 2 o'clock, like, exactly 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And I'm like, there's no way she's not going to be born between 2 and 3 in the morning. These are the hours I can't sleep, so I feel like my body's preparing for that. And then she was born at 3:03 in the morning. My whole pregnancy, I had also told everybody that I have a feeling she's going to be born during the Virgo full moon. And while she wasn't born exactly under the Virgo full moon, she was born while the moon was still in Virgo and it was on a waning gibbous. So, like, the phase right after full, and it was, like, 98% illuminated when she was born, something like that. So it was fucking close to being full, like, I was really, really close with her birthday. So I literally, oh, and I also told everybody that I had a feeling that I was not going to know that I was in labor until it was like really, really, really real, because I have a really high pain tolerance and I wasn't going to register it in my brain. And that's exactly what happened. So I think that's insane. And for me, especially somebody who's like a witch and a little bit more like spiritual and into manifesting, that was so validating for me, because spirit told me how this was going to go. Spirit told me how my labor and my delivery and, you know, what like moon phase she was even going to be born under. Like, that was so crazy to me. And I don't even have any words. I really don't. I think her birth experience was absolutely fantastic. It was so cool. I do wish I did get to like labor a little bit more and enjoy that part of it. And I didn't get as big of a birth high from her birth as I did with Scott. And I think a big reason for that was because I didn't register I was in labor, and I kind of was just like working through it too well. And a lot of people have asked me if I blame my midwife for like her not coming. And no, how could I blame my midwife for her not coming if I'm calling her like, hey, Janet, I don't think anything's happening, but, you know, like, how could I blame her when I didn't even think I was in labor, kind of thing? I'm the one doing it. So, that was Luna's birth story. It was absolutely crazy. Postpartum so far has been, I will say, fairly challenging. Healing from this tear has been really, really difficult. I'm still not 100% healed from it either. So dealing with this tear has been a little bit frustrating for me, because I just want to get back to normal. I want to be able to like go out and go to different events with my kids and go grocery shopping and, you know, just go do things without having to worry about my stitches tearing or, you know, like being in pain or, you know, being really uncomfortable. This postpartum has also been a little bit more challenging because I've been getting a lot of clogged milked ducts. So I've been having to take like a lot of sunflower lecithin and just trying to beat mastitis kind of thing and make sure that I don't get mastitis, because it's been making me feel a little bit under the weather. And now my boys are a little bit under the weather too, which is like kind of sucks, but they're fine. I think the hardest part though has been like my mom's been really sick throughout my postpartum. And the last weeks of my pregnancy, she was pretty sick, so I couldn't see her, because of germs. And now I can't go see her because of germs. So that's been really hard, because this is the first baby I've had where I haven't really had my mom. Jack took off 2 full weeks from work, so I had him every day helping me, and he was like really like, that man's a fucking rock star. Like, at the end of the day, like this experience has made me feel like I could trust that man with my absolute life. Like, he's so reliable for me. He'll do anything for me. Like, I have no doubt in my mind about that. So it really strengthened my relationship with him there. And then it's also been cool because, you know, my in-laws have been able to, step up a little bit. My mother-in-law has been, like, absolutely fantastic throughout this postpartum period. She's been super helpful. She's been taking, like, the boys so that I can have rest. Or, like, I'll go down and hang out at her house for the day and she'll, you know, take the boys so that I can sleep there. Or, you know, she'll, like, cook and make sure, like, everything's good. And, you know, she's been sending food for me and stuff. So that's been really, really good there too. So I feel like I've had like a decent amount of support, but it's definitely just been challenging with healing with the stitch, with not having my mom around as much. And this baby girl, she's not the best sleeper, I will say. I think she's better than like most newborns, at least that's what I'm going to tell myself so that I don't feel like I'm going crazy, because we do get a couple of good stretches at night. But then we have an awake period from like 2 to 3 in the morning where she's kind of more alert and she's hiccuping a lot. And it's, you know, that's really difficult, because as soon as like she does that, that wakes me up and I'm pretty much up, and it's a 50-50 shot if I go back to sleep. So that's been a little bit harder. So I'm just hoping that over the next like month or so, we get on a little bit better of a routine with sleeping, and, you know, that this freaking stitch heals completely, and then I start really feeling like normal so I can get back to doing everything that I want to be doing. is I just can't wait to feel like super normal again. And I know like some people think I'm kind of crazy for trying to like rush to get back to doing work and doing things, but it's like, I don't like getting lost in the sauce of motherhood. I don't like feeling super trapped by being a mom and feeling like I can't do the things that I want to do for myself or the things that I want to do for my family to like move us forward in life, or, you know, just, I just don't like the feeling of not, I don't want to say being productive because that's not the correct word. I guess I should say I don't like the feeling of not feeling fulfilled. And it's not that like, you know, taking care of a newborn doesn't fulfill me, because I absolutely love it. I love the newborn stage. But it does get very draining and very daunting, and it's important to make sure that you don't get lost in that as well. So I haven't been able to do exactly like what I want to be doing lately, but I have been making sure to like light deity candles whenever I can, just to have their energy in the home. I've been like really focusing on self-care, making sure my teeth get brushed every day, making sure my face gets washed, putting my Choose Joy spell oil on me every single day, like just trying to really keep myself rooted in feeling like a human kind of thing, staying consistent with like showers, because I remember in my postpartums with Scott and Dexter, taking showers was a little bit more difficult, but this time around I've definitely been more intentional about making sure that I feel clean and I can, you know, go have that minute in the shower and talk to the spirit and do, you know, my magic that way while also taking care of myself kind of thing. So those are the things that I've been really focusing on right now as I'm healing from postpartum. But yeah, that was my baby girl's birth story. It was a crazy experience. It was an awesome experience. Thank you to everybody who prayed over my birth, who, you know, sent good energy towards my birth, who was like checking up on us. Like, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate all the support that I've gotten throughout my pregnancy and, you know, during this postpartum period. So yeah, I don't think I want to finish this series. Like, you know, like I know that this was just like a pregnancy and like birth series, but I think I want to keep going for postpartum for the first year, like coming in and doing like, I don't know if I want to do monthly check-ins, because I feel like that might be a little too excessive, but maybe like every 3 months or so I'll come in and I'll do a little podcast episode about, you know, how I'm doing, how I'm healing mentally, physically, spiritually kind of thing, how we're adjusting to having 3 kids. I think I want to do that not only for like you guys so that you can hear about my journey if you're curious, or if you you know, are thinking about having another child or thinking about having kids, or again just curious into hearing it, like I would love to share it, but also for myself so that I can go back and listen to these and kind of really document like what's, I'm gonna get a little emotional saying this, oh my gosh, really documenting the first year of my last baby. Because as much as I say like maybe we'll have a fourth, we're probably not gonna have a fourth. I could not see us having a fourth unless in the next like 5 years we move really quick and get a bigger car. We're not having a fourth. But yeah, it would be fun to have a fourth though, especially if they were like a Scorpio, because then we'd have all of the polarity signs, because my husband's a Gemini, my first son's a Sagittarius, my second son is a Virgo, and my daughter's a Pisces, so I'm a Taurus, so the opposite of that would be Scorpio, so maybe we might have to have a fourth, just for the astrology aspect of it, but anyway, thank you so much again for the support during my pregnancy and for listening to this birth story, and yeah. Don't forget to subscribe to the Jesus Witch podcast on whatever platform you're currently listening to us on. And I will see you next time for the next episode. Bye.